Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 16. The book of Ezekiel and chapter 16 this evening. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Under gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to have this privilege to assemble together this evening, especially in Thy presence, to worship You. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the songs that we have just sang might be upon our hearts in truth and might be reflect the joy and the peace that You have given to us. We pray to Heavenly Father now as we look into Your Word, we pray that You would open our hearts and our understanding to receive the truth of Your Word this evening as it is proclaimed. We pray for Brother Mike, Sister Kim, dear Heavenly Father, as they go to the highway. We pray to Heavenly Father that You give them a safe trip home and bring them safely back to us once again. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. We want to read verses 1 through 5 again this evening. Verse 1 begins, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying." How many times have we read that? The word of the Lord came to him, saying. Just had the thought, or I probably would have gone back and counted it up, how many times it has been. But just giving emphasis to the fact that it is the word of the Lord, and it's not the word of Ezekiel, but it's the word of Ezekiel as the Lord gave it to him. Verse 2. "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Then I pitied thee." Then I pitied thee. "To do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, for the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born." As we opened this 16th chapter, the first lesson, the first message that we brought was concerning about sin provokes God to anger. God is not pleased with sin and the wicked. And God is not pleased with sin and the lives of His people. And then last week, just as God had told Ezekiel to cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, we thought about the fact that Jerusalem was unwilling to know her abominations, thinking that she had done no wrong, thinking that God didn't know and God didn't care. Man fancies himself much the same way. Man thinks that he's done nothing wrong. He sees nothing so terrible about the life that he lives and the things that he does. And sad to say, I believe that is many a Christian who don't see that they do anything so terrible, so awful. If we do acknowledge it to some degree, we try to hide it and cover it up as though it didn't exist. Basically, which is what Jerusalem did, which Israel did. Covered it up, hid it, pretended as though it didn't exist. We said in the close last week that it was necessary. It's necessary for us to know our sin. Why do we have to know our sin? Why do we have to acknowledge our sin? That's the first step in confessing our sin. We need to know our sin. We need to be aware of our sin. We need to acknowledge our sin so that we might confess our sin to God. That's a brief summary of the last 2 weeks. Tonight we want to go on with a thought. And just as the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and the word of the Lord told Ezekiel to cause Jerusalem to know, I want us to think for a moment who Ezekiel was. Ezekiel was a prophet. Prophet of God. And as the prophet of God, it was his responsibility because God laid it upon him. God gave it to him. It was his responsibility to cause the people to know. To make the people know of their abominations. To know of their sins. And so as we look at this point tonight, it is the work of prophets. It is the work of preachers. It is the work of every church member to cause sinners to know their sin, that they might repent of their abominations and trust in the Lord. We are to set before them the law of God. We're to take the word of God and preach the word of God. I want us to look at some passages concerning the law of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, first of all. The book of Psalms and the 119th chapter. And look with me at verse 9. Now pay attention to what we read here in verse 9. It's put in the form of a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Any young man. He points out young man because in a young man, many times he is just going about fulfilling the desires and passions of his flesh. I don't believe he's talking about himself. I don't believe he's talking about necessarily a saved person. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed to his way and taking heed according to the word of God. The word of God is the great corrector. The word of God is many times a great chastener. It is the word of God that the Holy Spirit of God uses to bring about repentance. And in the life of an individual who's unsaved and knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he needs the word of God. And I'll add to this tonight, and I'm not adding to the word of God, because all men, not just young men, but young men and old men, they need the word of God. Unsaved and saved, we need the word of God. It's the word of God that speaks to us. It's the word of God by which we're made aware of our evil ways. We're made aware of God's way and God's will. Going down in this chapter to verse 104, Psalms 119 and verse 104, the psalmist here says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. The word of God gives us discernment, gives us understanding as to what the way of the Lord is and what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that we walk in his way. And we walk pleasing to him. Therefore, I hate every false way. You see, the Word of God shows us that what the will of God is and what the way of God is, and it shows us our evil way, and we hate our evil way because the Word of God is speaking to us in truth. It causes us to be able to discern the right way and the wrong way. It causes us to be able to discern that which is clean and that which is unclean, which is the principle that he set before the children of Israel, yea, even in the wilderness, in the laws and the commandments that he gave to them. He says to set before them the clean and unclean, holy and unholy. We need to have that set before our eyes. And we get that set before our eyes by getting in to the Word of God and allowing it to speak to us. Go on with me now to the 128th verse. Verse number 128. More of the same. It says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. How do you esteem the Word of God? Do you esteem the Word of God concerning all things to be right, to be truth, to be that which we ought to obey and do? Many times, We seek you. Make excuses for it. Well, it doesn't really say that. Doesn't really mean that. Well, it's impossible for us to obey that. No, just trust God and obey. Trust God and obey that His word is right. It is correct in all things. And we must seek to do it in all things. Years ago, I heard it termed, we Christians, and I think it was even said in particular concerning we Baptists, we have a salad bar religion or a buffet type religion. We pick and choose that which we want. Do we sit down with the Word of God and do that? Do we say, well, I like this. Boy, this is good. Oh, I don't like that. I can't do that. That's too strict. That's too old-fashioned. Well, God didn't mean that. He meant something entirely different. Well, big one today. Well, you don't know what it was back then. You don't know what the standard was back then that he's reproving. What happened to the literal translation? Yes, sometimes things change over the year, but it maintains the same. What is it that the book of Ecclesiastes tells us? There's nothing new under the sun. What goes around comes around. Same principles today as back then, maybe looser in some ways. But there's still divided. There's still division between that which is clean and unclean. We know it if we look at it and face it. We know what's clean and what's unclean. We know what's holy and what's unholy. The problem lies is that many times we just don't want to admit it. We want to hide it. We want to deceive ourselves and try to deceive others as well. Look at, well, I don't think we finished that verse. To be right. And I hate every false way because he esteems the word of God be esteemed, held up on high. It is important. It is lovely. It is wonderful. The way of God is wonderful. It's holy, just, good. And he says, because it is, I hate every false way. I hate every evil way, every wicked way. And hopefully, as we concern that, as we discern that, we're looking at ourselves. I hate it in me as much as I hate it in someone else. God help us to hate sin and to hate sin as much in ourselves as we do in others. But many times we stand in judgment of others and excuse ourselves. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. You see, no darkness. No darkness in the word of God. The word of God is light. The word of God is truth. Yea, verse 105 says, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the word of God for us. It giveth understanding. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
Do we realize and understand that it's the Word of God that makes a fool wise? It's the Word of God that makes the simple wise. Where one say, we're foolish, despising the things of God. Now, they love the things of God. That's what the Word of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit working in them, does for them. You see? Yes. It is the responsibility of prophets and preachers and church members today to cause sinners to know their abominations, to set before them the law of God, the Word of God, to put before them the mirror of God's Word, that in it they may see their own deformities, their own defilements. To tell them plainly of their faults, of their sin before God. And say to them, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Let's look at some of the responsibilities. Some of what we're told in the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 58. Look at verse 1. Look what he says here. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. And the house of Jacob, their sins. Telling Isaiah here to cry aloud. Don't spare. Don't leave off. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Trumpet is shrill, loud. You can hear it. We're to do that with the Word of God. Isaiah was to take the words of God. He was to cry aloud, shout out like a trumpet to them the Word of God. In Ezekiel, let's go back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. Look what is said here in verse 4. Listen to it. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Will you stand in judgment of them? Will you condemn them? No. Don't do that, he says. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Take my word to them. Show them wherein they have done wrong. Why? That they might repent and turn. Look at chapter 22. look with me here at verse 2. Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Again, no. Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. That's what you should do. He says, don't judge her, but take my word to her. Show her all her abominations. Or as it said in Ezekiel 16, cause her to know her abominations. Chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 36. We read in verse 36, the Lord said, moreover unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Aholibah? No, don't judge Ahola and Aholibah. Yea, declare unto them their abominations. That's what I want you to do. Declare their abominations. This is what he said in the 33rd chapter. And he'd said it earlier, I believe it was chapter 3 or chapter 4 of Ezekiel, but we'll look at the 33rd chapter tonight. And look at verse 7. This is what he says to us too. So thou, verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Remember our studies concerning the watchman? He's reminding him, I have set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. What is he to take to them? He's to take to them the word of the Lord. What are we to take to? What are preachers today to take to them? The word of the Lord. What are church members today to take to them? The word of the Lord. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Everyone, we have opportunity to warn. They're going to die in their wickedness. They're going to die in their iniquity. Their blood will be required in our hand. We'll have to stand and give an account for them. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, in us delivering the word of the Lord, and Ezekiel delivering, and the prophets delivering the word of the Lord, the message of the Lord, they delivered their soul from being held guilty of their blood. Let's look in the book of Hosea. And see how it's said in the book of Hosea. And no worry, I don't think we'll be in the 8th chapter of Hosea at all in Sunday school. So, Hosea chapter 8. And verse 1. And look what he says again. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. A trumpet again. Shout out like a trumpet. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. What is he to tell them? What is he to set the trumpet before his mouth for? To tell them, you've transgressed, you've sinned. You've gone away from the house, from the word of the Lord. You've gone away from the Lord. You need to repent and return unto the Lord. Now, you say, well, that's Old Testament, speaking to prophets and so forth. Well, all right, let's look at the New Testament and see what he tells us here in the New Testament. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. And I remind you, Holy Spirit is using the Apostle Paul to write this letter to young Timothy, a young preacher, young pastor. And in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he says, I charge thee. The Holy Spirit is charging him. Yes, by the pen of Paul, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that is doing the speaking. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, doctrine. How does he do the reproving, rebuking, and the exhorting? He does it with the word of God. He preaches the word of God to them. To all the flock of God, which he's made him overseer of. Timothy was pastor of the Ephesian church. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's wise to preach the word. To preach the word when it's popular, to preach the word when it's not popular, to preach the word when it's tickling their ears, to preach the word when it's not. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. My pastors must be faithful to preach the word. To whom? He's talking now to the flock which the Holy Spirit of God has made you overseer of. So that you don't turn away on the fables. You don't run after the false prophets, the charlatans, but you stay true to the Lord, to His church. James chapter 1. I remind you what he told the church to do in the book of Mark. And well, let's turn there. We'll go back to James. Let's Mark. Mark chapter 16. In verse 15. Speaking to the 11 apostles.
Who were the 11 apostles? The first church. Speaking to the church, so he's speaking to every local New Testament church today. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. Why preach the gospel? The gospel is the word of God. Go and preach the word, the gospel, the truth concerning Jesus Christ. He that believeth, by you preaching the word and baptized, shall be saved. Or that is, he is saved. He believes, he's saved, he's baptized, manifesting that he is saved. But he that believeth not won't believe the preaching of the word. Shall be damned. But you know what you and I have done by delivering the word to him? We've relieved ourselves of any guilt. We've done that which we were responsible to do. Now back to the book of James. Chapter 1. 23, we refer to the Word of God as a mirror, and that's why I want to read this verse, James 1 and verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That word glass, literally in the Greek, you know what it means? A mirror. Beholding his face in a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror by which we see ourselves in. Oh, how many times I could tell you how many times, I can't tell you how many times I picked up the Word of God and I look and I see myself in there. Yes, even in our studies of Israel and Judah. All the times looking at their abominations before God. I see in my sins, myself, in the mirror of the Word. Well, we'll quit there this